This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined, as always, by Martin Kellner, who looked back on a week of sport
absolutely.
On TV. He was quite taken with the snooker. He talked a bit of tennis, football as well. We also spoke to Mike Ward. We looked at some of the picks of the non-sporting TV, if you can squeeze some in this weekend.
Yeah, and we did the American Sports Roundup on our own without Todd.
Yes, we did. We were forced into that. And we had a bit of a chat. Andy obviously was in a great mood after Chelsea's defeat last night.
Oh, tremendous, yeah.
So we brought you that as well. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. And people have said to me, you can have a rant, Andy. You can have a rant. You know, I love that when people do that for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. You can have a rant?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
Just play last Mondays. I haven't got anything else to say.
Well, no, you must have. I mean, there was something specific to last. I mean, his first days at work go, it all started really well for João Félix. He was playing brilliantly, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but what a donut. Really, honestly. Never mind Félix the cat, something that rhymes with cat.
Oh, yes.
I mean, seriously. I mean, honestly, you just look at these people, you know, what are you doing?
It's in the moment, wasn't it? He lost the ball. It's that classic thing of you lose the ball and you want to try and get it back. You're so keen. It's your first day at work.
I was really looking forward to seeing him on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's good, isn't he? But you know, he proves a point that I've been going on about for a while. I'm really don't think the training, the fitness, the conditioning, that is what's really wrong at Chelsea more than anything else, and whether Potter's got anything to do with that. Because you look at players who come in. Cucurella, when he came in, was sharp. Sterling, when he came in, was sharp.
Mm-hmm.
This boy last night looked sharp, sharper than our players.
Yeah.
And that just gradually fades away. And that's got to say something about the way they're playing, the way they're training. It's just not good enough, isn't it? It's, you know, but I thought I'd read you a selection of my mad notes. I thought that would be better.
Okay. Is that wise at this time of day?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
You clean them up?
Oh, yeah, I've cleaned them up.
Good, okay. Fine. Well, fair enough. Let's have your mad notes. So Andy, in real time, he watches a game of football with a notebook and he writes down these mad scribbles. And Frank Skinner once said to us, if anybody ever found your notebook,
they'd think I was mint.
Then you'd be arrested.
Yeah, I would.
You'd be incarcerated.
It's not a surprise, really.
Yeah. So...
Here's one for you. Peter Walton sounds even worse when your team's losing.
That's right.
You're so irritated.
You don't need it, do you? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was. I really like Lucy Ward, and she made a very good point, though. She said that the press has been effective against Chelsea recently. And you think, yeah, that's because Graham Potter won't mix it up. Basically, this slavish adherence to playing out from the back and never going long. Even Pep goes long occasionally.
Yeah.
It's just bonkers. Teams can just camp against Chelsea, camp in their half, and that's it. So, you know. But it's another game, another big injury. I've written here, we should buy a hospital, a specialist knee unit.
Yeah, honestly. I think it's his thigh, or old Dennis Zachariah. Yeah.
Honestly. One of my son's Arsenal supporters mates said to him, we should get Ken Bates back. I was thinking, the way we were playing, we might as well have the Mears family. That'd be more like it.
Okay. A little bit of Chelsea history knowledge needed for that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a funny sort of game, because I actually think that Chelsea were the better team. I do. Even with 10 men, I thought they looked quite reasonable.
Mm.
But, you know... I mean, Chalabar, he's been good for Chelsea.
Which one? Your one.
Yeah, our one. I mean, really. I was one of the worst games I've ever seen anyone have. I mean, he was absolutely useless from start to finish.
I bet he's feeling special if he's on his way home from training.
What's happened to him? You just look, and this is the this is where Potter has to hold his hands up, because this boy was playing quite well under Tuchel. He was useless. Willian skinned him time and time again. He got booked. He basically didn't head the ball away far enough for the goal. Then he deflected it in. Where was he on the second goal? Alan absolutely took him to the cleaners this morning. I'm not surprised.
Koulibaly has not maybe been the player he was at Napoli, has he, for you yet?
No, I mean, he was slightly better than us, but I've written here, Koulibaly's appalling. Potter must want the sack if he keeps picking him. It's like springtime for Hitler. These are the sort of things I write.
Yeah, right? Okay. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it's as clean as it is.
David Coote, ironically, still not receding in the slightest.
Yeah, that's right. Not living up to his billing. That's true.
And moving to United, though, I see they've completed the signing of Carthorse. Yeah. That's
great. Well, we'll find out if he scores against you at some point.
Well, that won't be difficult.
No, that's probably true. Carthorse.
I was just chatting to the lovely Shabana Hearn. I'm a big fan, actually, and we were having a chat. She was asking me about Chelsea, and suddenly I proposed.
You didn't turn on her like you did everybody else.
I like Shabana. She said to me, "Oh, I had a bloke fixing my oven this morning. You sounded exactly like you."
Really?
Yes.
You were in the wrong business, Andy.
I know.
I mean, we often have lookalikes, but not soundalikes. You're a great soundalike of someone, we'd love to hear from you today. Well, literally, give us a call, 0371 722 3344.
Apparently, it was when he couldn't fix the oven and had the wrong bit, and he went, "What's the point?"
He probably did. It's pathetic, this oven. That's it. Well, okay. Well, if you're a soundalike, and look, I suppose it's a well-trodden path, but memorable and eventful first days in a new job for João Felix. If you want to give us a few of those today,
it's going to be out until February the 11th.
That's because it's a cup weekend, and you're not involved.
And then there are no cup games. So basically, he's going to go a month without football. So how do you think he's going to be? He's not going to be sharp. He's going to come back. He's going to look like all the other Chelsea players. He'll probably get injured at Cobham. I'm sure they'll sort him out.
You can have a behind closed doors friendly against.
I did have a sweepstake. I wrote down, I've got a sweepstake that João Felix, because he was playing well, gets a hamstring. I had 23 minutes.
Oh, well, at least he had the decency to get sent off. At least he's fit, Andy. That's the way you've got to look at it. He is a fit player. When he can come back, he'll be able to play.
He won't be sharp.
You had no problems with a red. That was a red, wasn't it?
Oh, I suppose so, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't. He did try and pull his foot away.
The player made the absolute most of it. You know, I'm surprised. Is he back from hospital
there
yet?
I know it was a red card. I think all players make the most of that, don't they? So that's fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
Just very quickly, it was a letter to, I don't normally do the letters, but I saw this one today to the Telegraph from Tony Billington in Bucklebury in Berkshire, right?
That's a lot of bees.
It's a lot of bees. It's a Brian Badonde, isn't it? Billington, Bucklebury, that's right. He said, "I took my driving test age 17 in my mother's Morris Minor. When the examiner, a large gentleman, squeezed into the passenger seat, the handbrake was no longer visible. Despite the embarrassment of asking him to shift over, I passed my test. I celebrated by pinching my father's Bentley and taking the vicar's daughter to the pictures." And I thought, what does that sound like? No. I thought it sounded like the plot for an episode of All Creatures Great and Small, didn't it? If their story department are listening, just read the letters page in the Telegraph today. Taking the vicar's daughter to the pictures is not a euphemism. It's a fact.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A little bit some news emerging from the managerial press conferences today and the games at the weekend, and something we'll talk to Tony Cotty about a little bit later on. David Moyes has confirmed that Wolves made an approach for Craig Dawson that they have turned down. So we'll get Tony's thoughts on that a little bit later on. He's going to join us to look at some of the games that aren't featuring in the Fools panel, those that are. A number of you have been in touch to represent the TalkSport listeners. Just a reminder, Villa, Leeds, Manchester United, Manchester City, Everton, Southampton, all live on TalkSport tonight and tomorrow. 0371 722 3344. You can call us now, guess the scores of those, and win some points for the TalkSport listeners. Give us a call. We'll call you back at 2:45, Andy.
Yeah, now earlier in the show, I was saying that Shabana Hearn told me that I sound exactly the same, exactly like her... oven technology engineer.
Well, she doesn't have a personal one. It's just one who... I mean, having a bloke like that on standby on the off-charger oven doesn't work. Even Simon Cowell doesn't have that.
I found a bit of oven technology, which I was going to sort of test it out on her, but she's broadcasting at the moment on TalkSport 2, so yeah. I couldn't. So some smart cookers even offer touchscreen doors and built-in cameras, while others allow you to simultaneously cook at two different temperatures.
Yeah.
She's going to think that's him.
If someone's come to fix my oven, I'm not looking for that. No, well, it's basically a Sparks job, isn't it? I don't know. I'd imagine it is. Unless it's a technical, it's a very technical thing.
Did you see that Elvis impersonator? He was on This Morning with Holly and Phil. Mm-hmm. I was dying for him to sing The Wonder of Q.
Oh. There we are.
Would have been good, wouldn't it? The more you read about Gianni Infantino, the worse he is.
Yeah.
Well, he makes Sepp Blatter look like Sir Bob Geldof. He really is. I think he's one of the worst people anywhere ever.
Really?
Oh, he's terrible.
One of the worst people anywhere ever.
The ego.
I mean, give that some thought, Andy, when you look at some of the people who have been the worst
right
people
up
anywhere
there,
ever.
Honestly. That thing about him, directors were ordered to show FIFA president Gianni Infantino, but not on his phone. So they had to show him once every game.
Yeah.
And if he was with, this was a mad one. If he was sitting next to a sheikh, directors should not use any pictures of them below the knee. So he couldn't show those lovely white shoes.
That's a shame, because I imagine he got a few free pairs.
What a pity.
Yeah, that's
right. Honestly, it's so poor, the ego of the man. Can you imagine that? Yeah. It's just, it's depressing, really.
No, it certainly is.
Now, in Beijing, they've come up with something. Rupert Bell will be interested in this. They've cloned a show-jumping horse.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and he's doing very well, because they love show-jumping, but it's very, very expensive to get these horses in. So they thought they'd clone them. So what they've got to do now is clone the late Harvey Smith and Raymond Brooks Ward. They're laughing.
Yeah, that might be a touch more difficult.
A bit of DNA.
Yeah.
You find.
What's the horse called, do you know?
The horse is called Zhuang Zhuang.
Oh.
As it says here, the horse so nice the Chinese named him twice. Yeah. Which is quite amusing in the Times.
Yes.
So that was good.
Nice.
What else we got? Oh, yeah. These people. Somebody wrote to the Star the other day, Maureen in Teesside.
She said, not Maureen in Teesside.
Yeah, Maureen in Teesside.
Oh, good old Maureen, she's great. She always said, been a big fan.
I look forward to watching Midsummer Murders on Sunday, only to find out it had been taken off in favour of whinging Prince Harry. Thanks for nothing, ITV.
Was quite a big story, wasn't it?
It was quite a big story, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's Steve Hartley, still in The Archers.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the voice of TalkSport is currently starring in... We said, surely we need a continuing soap opera here on TalkSport, a radio soap opera, and we completely forgot about Max Rushton's opus, The Sturmey Archers.
I love that.
Shall we put... incredible amount of effort into it. Some would say far more than his regular shows.
He did. He used to write the script and then he'd get people to be in it.
He wrote the theme tune. He sung the theme tune.
It was good.
He threw himself heart and soul into that. He got great guest stars. Mm. Why did he ever stop? I think it was killing him. It's a bit like Spike.
I can't believe we haven't put
goons.
It out as a podcast. I'd listen to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, no one's still... He's supposed to be the brother of this bloke, the Polish vet.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous. He's just speaking like Steve Hartley. Surely someone's got to say to him, how come you haven't got a Polish accent like
Is
your
not
brother?
Not a hint of Polish accent.
Not a hint of Polish accent.
Like somebody who's Polish but been here for a very long time.
No. It's pure TalkSport.
Maybe
it's
they
just
shared.
Steve.
Maybe Steve will explain at some point, or you missed it, where they shared a parent, but Steve had always lived in the UK when his dad, mum and dad came over.
Possibly true.
Maybe in the 60s or something.
Seems unlikely
like that.
To me.
We did mention soundalikes because, yes, Siobhan Owen did say that Andy sounded just like the bloke who came and repaired her cooker this morning. It was a bit unnerving for her. Lee from Oldham said, Jason Cundy and Jamie O'Hara were convinced I was Tyson Fury when I called in last year after City's home game against Dortmund. I thought they were crackers, but the comments on YouTube video of the call were full of people saying the same. Well, I mean, Lee, maybe you should give us a call, Lee. That might make more sense.
That'd be good, yeah.
Oh, is that Lee? Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that's
okay. Look, we'll see if we can get in touch with you, Lee, if we can. I think we've got your number there. So if you can join us for a few minutes, because that's really the only way to do it, isn't it?
And this bloke...
the other one, Michael Naylor's been in touch and he said, Andy sounding like Shaban's oven repairman. The one that gets me every time on TalkSport is Gareth Batty, the fine Surrey and England bowler. And Mickey Gray says, cannot tell them apart.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's an interesting one.
It's interesting. George in Jedburgh wrote to the Daily Star.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, BBC, for a week's snooker. That was it.
That 50 quid?
What possessed you to write that? Send that in.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
not an hour later than you think it is. Todd's not able to join us in his regular slot. He's otherwise engaged work-wise. And in fact, we're having a slight problem getting through to him at the moment, but we're working on it. He'll be there in a second.
His line only works at
The one that often comes up, Simon the Postie, is sound-alikes, because Andy sounds like Chaban's gas cooker engineer. Danny Gabaldon and Tom Kerridge.
That's incredible.
That is quite uncanny, isn't it? Yeah. Matt Holland and Andy Townsend. Except if they presented the show together, they would sound exactly the same. I'm not so sure that's from the Chili Bike. I kind of know what you mean. Keep those coming. Andy is a sound-alike for an engineer. Talksport.com, text 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. Okay, we've got a problem with Todd's line. Anyway, we'll keep working at it.
In the
meantime, Andy, is there anything else you want to share with the class? You've hit us with a lot of stuff today.
Done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you've taken...
Pat Sharp, the DJ.
Oh, yeah, Pat Sharp. Yeah.
He says that David Beckham was starstruck when he met him.
David Beckham was starstruck when he met him?
He was starstruck over Pat rather than the other way around.
What about that?
Yeah, he said, I used to love Funhouse.
Oh, yeah. You say it like a High Court judge, Andy, so you probably didn't watch a lot of...
I didn't see Funhouse.
Funhouse? Yes, my lord, it was a popular... TV show.
Probably already at work at that point.
You probably were.
Have you seen the air guitar has been voted the most uncool gesture in a survey of Britons aged 18 to 29, with 38% saying it was old-fashioned and cringeworthy?
Well, there used to be the World Air Guitar Championship, didn't it? And it used to be populated by fairly young people, but we've not spoken about it for a while. We kind of argued it was sport. It was fairly athletic.
It's a slightly pointless thing, really. Son Heung-min is adamant that Tottenham can still win the Prem.
Blimey.
I know.
I love his positivity.
He's very positive. Spurs have played a game more than table-topping bitter rivals, who knew, Arsenal, and sit 11 points behind.
They do.
But the gap will reduce to 8 with victory in Sunday's home North London derby.
Well, you say that. We'll find out, won't we?
And Son, 30, insists the title is still up for grabs. I didn't realise he was 30. The striker said... We don't prioritise the cups. The Premier League is long.
Yeah, that's fairly evident.
Well, that's very true.
Well, that's why we keep losing all those semi-finals, because of lack of priority.
The Premier League is long, and something is always happening. Mm. Even Chelsea and Liverpool are pushing. Hello?
He wasn't watching. I think he said that before last night. I mean, it's top four on, Andy. Have you given up on top four? Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Got no chance. My honest belief, and I really feel this, I mean, if they don't get Reece James, Kante and Chilwell on the same pitch for at least 10 games, they are going to be in a battle down the bottom.
Really?
I'm not saying they're going to go down. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they're going to be... They'll be sucked into it, because then just not... They just find different ways to lose games. And in the end, you can't keep taking big injuries every game. You know, that you run out of players. You know, I see they've recalled Harvey Vale from Hull. He's a good young midfielder.
I mean, you're 10 points clear of the relegation teams.
Yeah, ten points off the thing. So, you know, it's perfect mid-table mediocrity, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I'd be happy with that. I mean, then they can start again next year. They can trim the squad, get the right people in, and have no European football. Maybe they can, you know, mount a decent challenge. But I think this year is a write-off. I mean, I couldn't sleep last night. It was driving me mad, honestly. It's so bad. I know when Chelsea are bad, when I really give me insomnia, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, if they actually did go down, I know it's ridiculous, but what a disaster that would be. I think the club would be wrecked, wouldn't it? They'd have to, people like Sterling, they'd have to give him away, you know, because he's on about 300 grand a week. So you get
this is not the sort... No wonder you didn't sleep. You're sitting there worrying about stuff like this.
I think basically you'd be just left with people who wanted to play for Chelsea. It might not be a bad thing, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You'll be saying, oh, we got Preston next week. That's if they don't come up.
No.
You're sitting there, I was looking at the fixtures. Playing every Saturday Saturday and Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to that one against Watford, Jamie. That should be good.
He thinks they're going down. Lay there tossing and turning last night, did you, thinking of life in the Championship?
What would actually happen if they went down is what I was thinking.
Would you be thick and thin, Andy? Would you still go?
I suppose you'd have to, really, because otherwise you'd lose your season ticket.
I mean, you have been spoiled in recent years, haven't you?
No, it's been 20 wonderful years. I mean, even longer, really. From 97 when they won the cup. So it's been 25 years of excellence, and it's cyclical, and of course I accept
that. Hell of a cycle you've got there, isn't it? Yeah. Bradley Wiggins-like cycle. I think most people take 25 years of
unfettered success. Well, that's even if nothing ever happens again, you know, then you've had that, and that's a good thing.
Right. It looks like we've missed Todd.
No, what can you do?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we can do some of the stories, actually.
I pulled quite a few of the stories together. I bring no expertise in. What I can tell you, though, about a couple of them, is that you may remember back in the day, there was a meme of a little kid, and he's in a yellow T-shirt, and he does a little mournful look.
Yeah, it's at the pretty famous, camera. Isn't it?
The
yeah.
Popeyes, it was the Popeyes chicken, wasn't it? Popeyes chicken meme kid. Well, he's trained on. His name is Colin Janurst, and he is playing college football. He's become a really decent college footballer.
Is he Janurst Colin or Colin Janurst?
I think he's Janurst, and it's Colin Janurst, first name Colin.
Oh, first name Colin. Oh, yeah, on the notes it says Janurst Colin rather than Colin Janurst.
Well,
Came Janurst, Colin or his last name?
I don't know which came Janurst. But anyway, I'm calling him Cole.
Go.
And he's playing for Lake Erie College, and he's pretty good. And now, kind of college footballers can do sponsorship deals for years and years. You know, they'd appear in games and they'd be, you know, people would be making money off the back of them and their names.
Oh, yeah.
But now they can make a few quid as well with selective promotional deals. And good old Cole, or Janurst, he's done a deal with Popeyes. They've managed to pull that off. So what a turn up for the books that was. The other thing was on the Damar Hamlin, which was the great news this week. The player had a cardiac arrest on the field in the Bills-Bengals game, left hospital yesterday, and as he did so, he trademarked two phrases. Did we win? Three is back, his number. And he's doing this for charity.
Yeah, it's a nice story.
They're doing all these Did We Win T-shirts and Three Is Back T-shirts after what happened to him. And Hamlin said, I want to give back an ounce of all of the love you'll show me. Proceeds of these T-shirts and more will go to the first responders, at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. So a nice story there. And I think we'll play you a bit of music. We've got a bit of music to play you. Because ESPN are covering the college football playoffs at the moment. And they've done a really hefty kind of Field of Dreams. I know it's a different sport, but in that sort of style, schmaltzy kind of powerful promo for it. And it is brilliant. It's brilliantly put together. And they've gone to John Williams, no less, to write the music for it, the man who wrote Indiana Jones and Star Wars themes. And we'll play you a little bit of it now as we head into the sport. And we'll speak to Tony Cotty shortly afterwards. But it is so John Williams, this. I mean, it's just trademark. I suppose that's why you go to him, because he gives you his trademark stuff. It's called Of Grit and Glory, and this is a flavour of the trailer with the John Williams music.
30 minutes for the rest of our life! Let's go!
It's magic.
History.
Legacy.
Grit
and glory.
Now you see what the night can bring.
Yeah. The breaking news is,
yeah, John, got anything else?
Yeah. Yeah, John, we were hoping you kind of, it wasn't really in your style. We were looking for something like a jazz trio. Well, don't come to me then, really. Exactly. You got any banjo players in your band? No, sorry. Sorry, we haven't. It is Janurst Colin. Janurst.
I know.
Yeah.
Jeffurst Colin.
Jeff Janurst. Can't be.
I tell you what we could have talked to Todd about. This was an amazing thing last week it was the last week of the NFL.
Yeah.
And the two teams.
Just some of the things we could have talked to him about.
Two teams battling for the number one pick. In other words, they had to be the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the Houston Texans were right in the box seat for getting it. And they basically went and scored a touchdown, which sort of tied them with this other team. And then they decided to go for two to win the game. And they actually won the game and lost the chance of the number one draft pick. Talk about a costly decision.
But there's something a bit grubby. I've heard about this in American sports because of the draft. You do get teams thinking, look, we've stunk the place out. We might as well properly stink because we'll get the first pick in the draft.
I think that's what Todd Bowley's hoping for. I really do.
Maybe he's waiting for the draft. That's what, no one's explained it to him. Yeah. No one has said, look, Todd, if you finish bottom, you don't get the pick of the best players. You can't buy the next Haaland off the block.
No. Not,
imagine the shock. You think, blimey, we're going to have to get a bit of a wriggle on there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time then to look back on a week of sport on TV. As Lovely. Always, in the company of the King of Overnights, massive in Kuala Lumpur. It is Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon. What a fantastic clip of Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. It sort of makes interviewing Alf Ramsey or Kenny Dalglish seem like a party in comparison. Yeah. It's a fantastic clip.
Yeah, he can be quite cutting.
I think that's a man under pressure.
He can
you?
Be quite cutting yes. when it's not going his way, can't he? He's, yeah. I mean, he said to Ned Amanua the other day, he was doing a bit, I think, for ESPN. He said, well, if you've ever played football, and he probably was thinking, yeah, you know, just about 100 times for Man City, you know, that other team down the road. So, yeah, that can backfire sometimes. Anyway,
yes.
I thought one of the programmes I was sure that you'd watch this week, because you love your tennis, mainly from a punting point of view, was Breakpoint, their version of Serve to Survive, as Andy quite rightly called it, which was a much better title. But
a better title, wasn't it? I mean, it's one of those Access All Areas documentaries, but at the end of the day, you think, why Access All Areas? Because there's nothing much to access. You know, tennis can be, as I've said loads of times, a game played largely in the head, which means there's not a lot to see. I mean, the first episode's called The Maverick, and of course it's Nick Kyrgios, because the Australian Open and all that. And he swears once or twice, but you think he's only doing it because they've said, you better throw in a swear word or two, because we're calling you the bad boy of tennis. So it's neither here nor there, really. I mean, it's interesting to watch, and it's very well done. It's the same people who did Drive to Survive. So you've got the sleekness of it, and it looks great, and... If you've never watched a tennis match, that's the thing that really grates, because you think you'll at least have some familiarity with how tennis works. And then you have scenes with Nick Kyrgios' girlfriend where his manager is explaining, well, it goes to five sets, you see, and he's explaining the way tennis works.
Wow.
And you think, well, you know, it's, I think, a better idea than watching Breakpoint would be to watch Point Break, which, you see, I made a mistake on the Sky Q thing, and I said... bring me Point Break.
Really?
Which it did. It's a surfing movie.
Yeah, with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, isn't it?
That's right. an FBI agent infiltrates a gang of surfers because he thinks they're involved. Anyway, I mean, I can see the point of the documentary in that, you know, the old guard is changing, isn't it? We all know. Everybody's waiting. We have been for, you know, about 2 years in the tennis for, you know, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Serena Williams. that generation to disappear and be replaced by new players who, you know, will be at some point an interesting narrative. You know, we assume they will have personalities. But when you see this, you know, they're preparing for the Aussie Open and all that, which is next week, and, you know, I'm looking forward to all that. But they're all, you know, quite reasonable, quite plausible, quite nice. Kyrgios, as I say, he's supposed to be the maverick, he's supposed to be the bad boy. But he's not really that maverick, you know, and nobody has anything particularly bad to say about him, you know, that when he's on the court, he's very, very focused and very intense. But that's the way tennis works. So unless you're a real fan of tennis, I don't think it's going to, you know, the idea of Drive to Survive, it's brought a whole new audience into Formula One because, you know, Formula One, they're playboys, they're interesting, you know, the cars and there's the rivalry and all that. You know, a tennis racket's a tennis racket, let's be honest.
There's a golf one coming up as well, Martin.
There's a
isn't
golf
there?
One and yeah. Six Nations. Six Nations should be interesting.
Yeah, because there's been, I mean, rugby has got previous. Remember the old
that
life.
That can be called Drive to Survive, yeah. The golf one.
The golf one can be called Drive to Survive. But remember that life. Well done. The first Life with the Lions documentary was one of those years and years ago in the 90s, was really, really good. You know, rugby's pretty good at giving access like that. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think Life with the Lions means something else to Martin.
Of course it does. Beamy Daniels. Ben Lyon and Beamy Daniels. Exactly. Yeah. Marvellous. Golden days.
And Archie I did Grandad. Watch...
Yep. Yes, yeah, absolutely. I did watch that Bob Einstein documentary that you recommended.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I've seen it before, but it's
very
it's
funny. The man who played Marty Funkhauser, Andy, in Curb Your Enthusiasm, like a documentary about him, very good. Anyway, not sport. He was a daredevil, but not sport. The golf one is called Full Swing. So they're
Full Swing, yes.
Yeah, not a massive surprise. Beyond that, snooker. Martin, beyond the tennis,
snooker's been on all week on BBC Two and... on those rare moments when you can't get it on BBC, it's also on Eurosport too. And I just think Ronnie Sullivan, I mean, I know he lost the match eventually against Mark Williams, which was a fantastic comeback by Mark Williams. But I was watching one of these, one frame in the afternoon, and the black was perched over the pocket. And then the red was sort of nestled just in front of the black. They were talking about doing a reframe, because I think you have to do that at some point, don't you, when you can't continue with the game, you know, when nobody can... Do you know what I mean? It's so tied up the board. Not the board, whatever they call it.
The table.
It's so tied up. But Ronnie... unbelievably managed to squeeze round, and from there he made a 100 break, which was fantastic. And I thought, that guy does not get the respect he deserves. I know everybody says he's great and he's a brilliant snooker player, but you know, I was talking about the sports personality a week or two back, and I think he should have been at least in the conversation for that. And in fact, the BBC team, they had Steve Davis and Ken Doherty, who was sort of commenting on this match against Mark Williams. At the time when I was watching, this was yesterday afternoon, it was 3-0 for Ronnie at that point. You assume that Ronnie was going to win the match. There was a brilliant comeback afterwards. But Steve said, and you know, if anybody should know, he should, he said, we will never see the likes of Ronnie O'Sullivan again. And basically, we only concentrate on snooker when it's the championship from the Crucible in Sheffield. But the Masters, and again, as Steve Davis said, you know, Ronnie O'Sullivan, not every tournament on the calendar gets Ronnie's juices flowing. But this one is, he's really up for it, which made the you know, and he was, you can tell. And he is one of those players that is not always up for it, is he? He's not always as up for it as he is for the Masters. It was a great match. It was a really great match. Just because I don't suppose it gets the audience figures that the championship gets, you know, from the Crucible in Sheffield. But very good. You know, I would recommend it. Mark Williams is a great player. And he hung on in there.
I don't know if you watched the Wasp incident in the first round. He played David Gilbert in the first round. And there was a wasp flying around.
She's strange at this time of year.
The auditorium. We got a bit of Ministry of Silly Walks almost from Mark Williams as he was trying to fend it off. Then it was having a go at the cameraman. Then it turned on the referee. So, yeah, it created havoc in there. But maybe the wasp is what won it for him. Maybe he'll go all the way and never look back.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. He's not won the... I think the last time he won the Mercer was about 2009, I think. I might be wrong. But well worth watching, I have to say. And it, the only reason I'm mentioning it is because, A, I think Ronnie is... We should savour... He's 47.
Yeah.
We should savour him while we still have the chance, you know, because he's not going to be there forever. And I've never seen a snooker player like him.
No, he's brilliant. He's box office as well. You want to watch when he's playing.
Absolutely.
Just finally, you the Lionesses documentary, the look back on the winning the European Championship on the Beeb, of Europe, you've watched that.
I watched that, yes. Again, if you have Sky Q, be careful, because if you try to call for it and just say Lionesses, you get a very old programme called Elsa the Lioness, very young David Attenborough actually meeting Elsa the Lioness. It's a great programme. Well, yeah. It's 66.
I love the fact you're looking for something, but then you get sucked into the other shows, like you watch Point Blank and Elsa the...
Yeah. Isn't that what life's all about these days? Yeah. You know, I watched about 4 episodes of Tommy Saxondale. Long and neglected. I was looking for something entirely different.
The Steve Coogan sitcom, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. Lionesses, Champions of Europe. It's, you know, it does the job. It's a BBC thing. You've got all the best bits of the footage. But also on the same page, there's a thing called We Are England. And it's England's Next Lionesses. And if you were in any doubt that they'd the success they'd had inspired a new generation, this programme will dispel all those doubts, because it's a girls' football club, Bolton in the northeast, that has over time produced 3 Lionesses, including Jill Scott, who of course now has become a massive star after the celebrity programme. Interviews these girls, and they're really, really keen on it. And you think, well, you know, I may have been sceptical about some of the goalkeeping or whatever in the Euros, but it's had a fantastic effect. And all these girls are playing football there, which is brilliant.
You fantastic,
know, really good. Yeah,
I enjoyed that. Yeah, we're going to check that. It's on the BBC iPlayer, and if you like, you can also watch Elsa the Lioness with the young David Attenborough.
Yes, I would recommend that.
Yeah. A double header. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. So, if you can squeeze in some non-sporting TV around the sport, Mike Ward is here to mark your card from The Star. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi, guys.
I know Andy is a big fan of the work of John Richardson and Lucy Beaumont. You like
a big fan of the work of Graham Potter.
He's not a big fan of Graham.
Just skip the Brighton stuff this week.
We should
no need to gloat.
Have you been surprised by what's happened? I mean...
What? How well we're doing?
No, it's not going particularly well for him. Or
I am. In all honesty, I'm quite surprised. But there is. I don't know. We've got another manager. Would you like him, Andy?
No.
Come along. We'll have a sort of car boot. You sort of look around, see if there's anything else you fancy.
I saw a very funny article this week in the paper saying, a lesson for Chelsea is the way Brighton and Brentford have been running things. Right. Hang on a minute. They have won quite a lot in the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. John Richardson and Lucy Beaumont, they're on the Channel 4. Is it a good show?
It's another sort of attempt to do a kind of modern day Mr. and Mrs. type of thing. They did that awful thing with Rob Beckett, which I think even Rob Beckett probably wishes he hadn't done, on BBC One at the end of last year, where they got sort of testing the resilience of celebrity marriages. This is more of a sort of panel game type thing, and it works a lot better. Each week they have 2 different celebrity couples join them, and they do things like a lie detector test and set all sorts of challenges. It's all very tongue-in-cheek, but they just work so well together as the presenters, and the sort of the chemistry with the guests is really good. So this is on Channel 4 Friday nights from tonight at 9 o'clock.
Okay, I saw this thing. This is on Channel 4. ITVX got a thing called The Reunion.
ITVX, so what's the point of it? It's a point. Honestly, we went to watch something the other day, and you can't record on it. So you can only stream. Then you've got to, not for me.
Okay,
sticking on ITV, it's fine.
Put it on proper telly, my wife would say.
Thank you, a little one-man focus group there. But I thought this was like a kind of celebrity school reunion thing, but it's not.
Don't
it's a drama.
Put ideas in there.
It's not a good idea, is it? Really,
it'll happen now. You said it, but no, this is a drama. It's Ewan Griffith playing a guy, a sort of successful author who finds himself invited back to his old school reunion in a school in France. I'm not quite sure what's in France, but anyway, meeting up with people he was at school with in the 90s. But he's been nursing a dark secret all this time, and obviously going back and, you know, digging up the past is going to have harrowing consequences.
Ooh, okay. Fair will these enough. Things eventually end up on ITV? Or
yeah, it, yeah, they yeah. all will. Yeah, so I mean, this is ITV trying to do its sort of alternative version to, you know, the iPlayer. So, you know, telling us that this is the hub, this is the first port of call. And I think most people probably, it isn't still, especially as it's not that easy to just switch. Most people just want to switch on the telly and find stuff. And it's still quite hard on, depending on what, you know, how you get your TV.
You also can't spawn through the ads.
No,
which,
and you can't record. No. That's the other thing. Yeah, and you have to
subscribe. You can subscribe if you want to, and you can download it, I think, if you are a subscriber and put it on your phone. But it's a convoluted way. It's trying to embrace the technology, but I think make it easy for people is the number one lesson, and I don't think it's as easy as it should be yet. Anyway, sorry, that's a separate thing.
No problem. Super League, the war for football. We spoke to the director of this earlier in the week. This is this new...
Yeah, I'll be honest. I put this on this. I haven't actually watched this yet, but I just thought it was worth pointing out. It's on Apple TV Plus from today. And obviously, we've had quite a few of the documentaries about the Super League and, you know, the story behind it and the fact that it was in the pipeline for a long, long time. And that, you know, there are people out there who still want something along those lines to happen. It hasn't gone away, the idea, I think, is the basic point. So this is a four-part series on that Apple are doing. So we're meeting some of the key sort of figures behind it and getting to grips with exactly what...
I don't get Amanda and Alan's Italian joke. What is that?
Do you know what? It's sort of... I know it's a bit Alan Partridge-y, but I've sort of strangely warmed to it. Yeah. It's nonsense and pointless, as you say. But it's 8:30 on Friday nights, and it's just watching Amanda Holden and Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer. It's a very different show. Alan Carr.
Nah. Alan Shearer's chatty man.
That would be brilliant. Give Alan Shearer all Alan Carr's jobs and see how that works out. That would be a channel in its own right.
Saturday evening.
Yeah, I'm going to watch this.
8 p.m. on Gold. Yeah. If people are fans of the great Tony Hancock, they'll enjoy this. Jack D hosting a look back at his life and career. Then they've colorized and restored, digitally restored two classic
that is going to be
Hancocks,
interesting.
The Blood Donor and 12 Angry Men.
The Blood Donor's at 10 o'clock and 12 Angry Men. And yeah, they've colorized it, but they haven't colorized it. I don't know, the technology is brilliant because you wouldn't know that they've actually, you know, applied this digital technique to it, and it's done in a way that still manages to keep that nostalgic look to it, so the colour's a bit washed out sort of thing, so it sort of doesn't feel too glaring and bright, and it's a famous episode, obviously the Blood Donor, with the famous line that's quoted in the title of the documentary, very nearly an armful. June Whitfield is in it as the nurse, and the great Hugh Lloyd.
Hugh Lloyd. Patrick Cargill's the doctor.
Patrick Cargill as the doctor. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
we
I'm
once
sure
announced
when it goes...
that Hugh Lloyd had died on the show, and then he rang up, or his daughter rang up.
Yeah, she said he's still very much alive. So he said, "I'll get my dad to call you." So
was
he
that
did.
Recently?
No,
a long time ago.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, long time.
No, 20 years ago.
But then he came on, old Hugh. He was great. He was a proper football fan and everything. He was fantastic.
He used to live near the office where I worked in Brighton when I was on the local paper, and he came in once. And when I was writing my very first column for a newspaper, he said, "I really like your column. It's the most wonderful thing that Hugh Lloyd typed it." And, you know, I never forgot that. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Just very, very quickly, How to Live to 100, Channel 4, 6:45.
It's never going to happen, but this is on Channel 4 on Sunday night. Yeah. Sunday night with Jon Snow travelling to different parts of the world where people live significantly longer due to sort of health.
Porridge and whiskey, John, that'll do it.
No, see, porridge and whiskey, glass of red wine. That's all these glass. Tried and tested.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again on Monday. Danny Kelly will be with us to look back over the Premier League weekend.
Sure, I'll be moaning again. I really have run out of things. They better win because I've run out of anything to say now.
Well, have a fine weekend. Enjoy all the games here on TalkSport, and we will catch up with you on Monday. If you can, join us on one, great. If not, the podcast will be available around 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.